Listen, I know it's getting Christmas time, and here's what I found out in all my years of pastoring, usually when it gets around this time of the year, it is like a funeral home in a Baptist church. And it, you know, it's like Christmas, Easter, it's like, oh, we're not singing about some of the songs we normally sing about, and we've heard the songs a thousand times, and if not careful, we miss the joy of what it is to be saved and what it is. Hey, this is the time that we're celebrating the love of God. When you think about it, it's not just, it's not about whether we say Merry Christmas. It's not about Christmas trees. It's not about reindeer. It's not about lights. And I like all those things. But, you know, it's interesting. We get so focused on gifts and going to dinners and all the things. And it's amazing to me that as Christians, Brother Jimmy, that our company sometimes they'll have, you know, get-togethers on a Wednesday night, a Christmas dinner. We'll say, well, I'm going to have to miss church to go to my company Christmas dinner. So in the two of the biggest dates in our Christianity would be the birth of Christ, and the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ. And isn't it interesting that we get our eyes off of that? We'll think, well, I got 50 other weeks in the year I can be at church, and so it won't matter this one time. But the problem becomes this: whenever we start getting that attitude, and we our priority gets messed up, then it balloons and it steamrolls, and before you know it, you know what? I believe this, and I'm not blaming this. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not blaming the apathy of the local church on a Christmas party. But what I'm saying is what we're seeing today in our local churches, the reason that even before COVID, Justin, attendance was declining is because we don't place enough priority and enough emphasis on what God has given us, the local church. And so if we're not careful, and again, I get it. I was talking to a man today, and I said, you know, I see even among some of our people this shock. It's like nothing's going right, right? Every time you turn the TV on, every time you see something on social media, it's like here's something else bad wrong. Here's an election. Here's COVID. It's on and on and on. And I know this. I know that it takes, we're human, right? It affects us. And if we are not plugged in, then what happens is, and it's not just us as Christians. I mean, you look at the rate of suicide going up, the rate of drug addiction, alcohol, all of this is tied in. And if we're not careful, we fall right into that, because even though we have the nature of Christ, we still have flesh, right? And the flesh gets weary and the flesh gets weak. Flesh gets discouraged and it gets depressed. And now we're going into wintertime. Wintertime's not easy anyway on people. Now it's, you know, we're facing a potential lockdown in wintertime. And so we've got to figure out some way to encourage ourselves. And, you know, we can't, Brother Jimmy, we can't depend on others to encourage us because, and I don't mean this negatively, sometimes they're not in a place where they can encourage us, right? I mean, you know, if we're not careful, we get in this this mindset of everybody encourage me and we don't encourage others. And I'm just saying that we better find a way to encourage ourselves in the Lord. And if not, listen, we're going to the next, I don't know, months, years, whatever is going to be devastating. And I see it. I see that when you go out, you see a lack of hope with people. They don't have any hope. Now they're looking for it, and we're supposed to be the ones that have hope. And so, you know, what is interesting to me is, again, I've mentioned this before. I see more posts from Christians about the election and about whether or not to wear a mask than I do about the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, people don't need to know your opinion about a mask or what the election, but they need hope. And that's what this world's looking for, hope. And if they can't find it in people that say they're redeemed, right, say that they're saved. And it's interesting. in this time of all that we're talking about, we're not talking about Jesus. We're not talking about heaven. We're talking about how silly the mandate policies, and I think they're silly. I'll be the first to tell you, and I get discouraged, and I get upset, and I get mad, and I look at it, and I think, you know, I can't believe we're here. But we are, right? So we got to make a decision. Either we can be light, or we can be as dark as the rest of the world is. And so, again, I want to encourage you tonight, and Brother Jimmy, myself, we want to be an encouragement to you. But listen, part of the issue of pastoring, trying to pastor in a pandemic, is you just can't be all things to all people. You can't be everywhere at all times. So what I'm saying, as a church, we've got to encourage ourselves, but we also have to get out of our comfort zone and encourage others. And you know what? I know a lot of times, Brother Jimmy, we as leadership pastors, sometimes people forget about us and think, you know, well, they've got it. They're walking with God and their prayer life's whatever, and they're encouraged, and now they've got to encourage us, and we do. But listen, don't forget about us either, right? Don't forget about us. I was telling a fella today, missionary, and I said, you know, I said, this is difficult on everybody. And you think about men, you know, I thought about some older men that have put their life into ministry. And even Christians. Brother Jerry, they've put their life into serving God, and they put their abilities and their talent, and they've done all the things that they felt like God wanted them to do, and now there's questions. There's questions about, let's be honest, if we're not faithful, if we're not careful, we can get discouraged and completely get out of church. Now, you look at the crowd we have here tonight, and we can sit back, Brother Kenneth, we can say, well, you know what, people ought to be at church on Wednesday night. I agree with that. But don't you be a casualty. Don't you be a casualty. Because we need you. Amen, we need you. So, I want you to turn your Bible to Proverbs chapter number 9 tonight. Proverbs chapter number 9. And we'll begin reading in verse number 1 down through verse number 6. If you're able to, let's stand together. You stretch your legs this evening. And it's good to see you. Good to be back in God's house. And I'm looking forward. Listen, I'm looking forward to 2021. And it's not because 2020 was this or that. I always get this time of the year. I'm ready to close out this year. And I'm ready to move on to the next year. And I think 2021, again, it's all in what you make it. It can either be the greatest year of your life, or it can be the worst. It's up to you. And it doesn't have to, Brother Eddie, it doesn't have anything to do with circumstances. Right? It's how we deal with them. Proverbs chapter number 9, verse number 1. The Bible said, wisdom hath builded her house, she hath hewn out her seven pillars. Verse number 2, she hath killed her beasts, she hath mingled her wine, she hath also furnished her table, and she hath sent forth her maiden. She crieth upon the highest places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn to in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, come, eat of my bread, drink of the wine, which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live and go in the way of understanding. Well, that is powerful. Verse number 6, forsake the foolish and live and go in the way of understanding. I tell you what it means. Number 1, we should not believe everything that we hear. We should seek out truth, right? Because there's a lot of foolishness out there. There's a lot of misinformation. And I realize this. We live in a day where our attention span is about like that, right? And so we want snippets and clippets and, you know, 5 seconds. And if someone puts something up, I want to read that. And that's the truth, because nobody lies on the Internet. I don't know if y'all know that. Everything is on the Internet is absolute truth, right? And so if we're not careful, we get all this bad information. And it affects us. When we stop seeking wisdom, we just seek opinion. So, verse number 6, forsake the foolish, right? and live, go in the way of understanding. So I want to preach tonight the blessing of wisdom. Isn't it amazing God has blessed us? We think of the blessings of God and we think about finances, we think about food, we think about health, we think about all these things. But God has blessed us with the ability to have wisdom. And the Bible tells us this, if any lack wisdom, what are we to do? Ask for it, right? And so He freely wants to give us His wisdom. And when we have God's wisdom, we discern things. A lot of folks don't know how to discern things. They think they do, or they feel a certain way, but they don't understand from God's Word how to discern certain things. And we need that today because there are a lot of wolves in sheep's clothing, and if we're not careful, we believe everything. But if we'll understand the wisdom of God, and we will take things that we hear, and we will place it against the Word of God, then we can have God's wisdom to discern what is true and what is false. And so I'll preach on that. Father, thank You for the Word of God tonight. I want it to be a help to Your people. And God, may You speak to our hearts tonight. We need to hear from You. And I thank You for those that were able to come tonight, those that are watching by way of internet. I thank You for them too. I just pray, God, that we'd help to all those that would hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. So can we agree tonight that wisdom, and again, I'm thankful that over the last 9 chapters, we've really been able to see God's definition of wisdom. If we define wisdom as human beings, a lot of times we get it messed up because people will say knowledge is the accumulation of information, but wisdom is knowing how to apply it. And that is partially true, but the fact is, the wisdom we're talking about is not human wisdom, it is godly wisdom. So wisdom has got to be wrapped up in the Word of God. It's not wrapped up in our emotion. And I was thinking yesterday, I was driving down the road and spending some time listening to the Word of God, and it got quiet for a minute. And I thought, you know, this is the time that we need. We're so opposed to silence. We're so opposed to quietness. And we want to hear things, and we want our mind to be occupied all the time with social media or entertainment or even reading books. And there's nothing wrong with those things, but when's the last time that you just took a little time and really got quiet and let God speak to you? Because He doesn't speak in the wind, and He doesn't speak in the thunder. He doesn't speak in the loud things. He speaks to us in that still small voice. And that's why our study time in the Word of God is so important, because wisdom is wrapped up in the Word of God. And if we don't know the Word of God, we can't know the wisdom of God. And so when we say, now any that lack wisdom, let him ask, it's not some gift that if we just hold our hands out and say, God, give it to me, He's just going to pour it out. It is really wrapped up in His Word. And so when we think about the Word of God, we have the wisdom of God at our fingertips. It is available to us, but you and I have to want it. And as we read it, I understand as we read the Word of God, we don't understand it all. And that's okay. Don't get discouraged not understanding all the Word of God. It has everything we need for life, and it has everything we need for a good life. I don't know about you, but I want to live a good life. I want my family to have a good life. I want you to have a good life. I want our church to have a good life. But it's amazing that we think a good life is found outside the Word of God, and then we see all through the Word of God that it is found in it. And so we have to make the decision whether or not God's wisdom is higher than ours. And if it is, then we have to obey His Word. The blessing of wisdom comes from us knowing and understanding the Word of God. And so as we can not only read it, as we can apply it to our lives, people say all the time, say, well, I want to hear a message that is applicable, that is relevant for me today. Every message today from the Word of God is relevant. And it is God's wisdom that allows us to take His Word and apply it to our lives. We should be able to see Jesus from Genesis to Revelation. He's all through the Bible, right? And so if He's all through the Bible, then whether man preaches all the way through Genesis or all the way through Revelation, it should apply to us and help us to become more like Christ. So we may not understand it all at once, but Every time we go to the Word, it brings new blessings. And the more we know God's Word, the better we know God. And the better we know God, the better we understand the blessing of God. So here in this scripture, I want to share a few things about the blessing of wisdom. Number one, in verse 1, the Bible deals with wisdom's house, her house. Notice the Bible said, wisdom hath builded her house, she hath hewn out her seven pillars. So when we think about the house of God, right, we realize that really it's twofold. One, it is the church. We call this the house of God. We call this God's house, right? And it is to a degree. I realize, Brother Jimmy, tonight that we are the tabernacle of God. But the church, the local body of believers, God has given to us for a reason, for wisdom. And so tonight, when we look here, it says it's hewn out those seven pillars. And think about this. When you think of the seven pillars of the church, you got to think about salvation. That's where it all starts, right, is salvation. And then we talk about baptism, believer's baptism. That is an act of obedience. It does not save us. It is an act of obedience in following Christ in baptism. But then we go on to doctrine. The Bible doesn't just tell us to see them saved and baptized. It also tells us that we're to teach them things as well, that we're to disciple them. And so salvation, baptism, doctrine, and then the church is made up for fellowship. Listen, I understand, I say again, I'm glad that we're able to broadcast over the internet. But you're not going to get over the internet what you'll get fellowshipping with your fellow believers. And so I'm thankful that God knew that we needed fellowship and gave us the local church. But it also is breaking of bread. It is nice that we're able to have some meals together. It is nice that we're able to not only break physical bread, but we're also able to break spiritual bread. That we have Sunday school. We have that time of fellowship. We have time that we go out to eat with each other. It's time we talk about the things of God. That is important to the believer. And then also prayer, right? Listen, a church that does not pray is a church that will not stay. We have to be a church of prayer. The Bible doesn't say that Jesus doesn't call his house a house of worship. He doesn't call it a house of preaching. He doesn't call it a house of Sunday school or of ministry. He calls it a house of prayer. And I still believe this, that the day we live in, possibly the most neglected thing that you and I have at our disposal that we do not use is prayer. Yeah, we met for several months and prayed around the altar. And if you stopped after that, then you don't understand what the value of prayer is. At the end of service, when we have altar call, it's not just God spoke to my heart about something and convicted me. This altar is open for you to come pray. Listen, what we need today is not more lawsuits, and I'm not against that. I think, again, our president ought to take every opportunity, because I don't want the other guy to be president, to be honest with you. But I know this, we can get more accomplished here than we can anywhere else. And so God's people need to be prayer warriors, amen? Not only for our nation, but for each other. Listen, we all go through struggles. Every one of us tonight sitting here, I promise you, and if I'm wrong, tell me after the service, we all came here tonight with some type of burden, and they're not all the same, and there's not big burdens and little burdens. What may be small to me may be big to you, right? But we all have a certain amount of burdens we carry. Well, you don't have to know those, right? I don't have to know what's going on in Brother Jeff, Miss Deb's life to pray for them. But if they say, would you pray for me? I don't have to go in and, well, what do you need me to pray about? Tell me exactly what's, if they want me to know, they'll tell me. If not, God knows, right? And so you and I ought to be people of prayer, but also we ought to be people of giving. Hey, listen, if you're watching by way of internet, you're a member of this church, don't get the idea that because you're not here, you're free from giving. Amen. Listen, if you're a part of this church or if you're not a part of this church and you want to give, praise God. Now, if you're a member somewhere else, you tithe in that church. But just because you're not in the building does not say, well, you know what, I'm not there, and so therefore I don't need to tithe anymore. Sure you do. Listen, you're not obedient to the Word of God unless you're giving. Amen. And so the church was built on the seven pillars. And a church that is built on these pillars will be stable and strong. Listen, COVID-19 is not what's destroying the church. It's not the devil. It's not the government. I believe this, what's destroying the church is the church. We've forgotten the seven pillars. We're not worried about people getting saved, right? We say we are, but if we were, listen, there wouldn't be a Christmas track out there. Every day we find somebody that needs to hear the gospel. Now, baptism, listen, that's not important to people anymore. Doctrine, people don't care about doctrine. They want to come to church to feel good. But here's the thing. If you are going to stand in hostile territory, if you're going to stand in storms, you got to know the doctrine of the Word of God. Doctrine is what we believe. And if you don't know what you believe, you'll be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Everything that comes, you'll say, well, that sounds good. That sounds good. So here, a church that is built on these pillars will be stable and strong. And a church built on these pillars will grow and will last. God does it. Amen. The Lord adds to the church. Amen. You and I are to be the witnesses. It is Him that adds to the church daily. And so here, when we look at her house, we see the church, but also we see the Christian. Christians who build on these pillars will be strong and stable. Like I said, you may not be coming to this church, but if you are not practicing doctrine, if you're not practicing fellowship, breaking of bread, prayer, and giving in your personal life, as a Christian, you're going to be anemic. You're going to be feeble. And so here, Christians that build on these pillars will grow. They'll grow spiritually. They'll become more like Christ. They'll mature in the things of God. So do not get discouraged in this time and say, well, now listen, I prayed and it didn't go the way I wanted to, and so no need to pray. And I'm just so discouraged. I can't read the Word of God, but I can watch my favorite Netflix show. And don't look and say, well, Christmas is upon us, and you know what's going to bring me some Christmas joy is to spend some money on the grandkids. Hey, listen, if you're not giving, don't you go buying presents for the grandkids. Amen. So Christians that are built on these pillars are going to grow. It is God's blessing to us. And as you spend more time in the Word of God, you'll see how important these pillars are in our life. And as we have those pillars strong in the individual's life, it makes the collective group stronger. So it's you and I. We've got the blessing of wisdom as each one of us has the opportunity to seek after the wisdom of God. And as we do that, collectively, we become stronger as a body of believers. So the blessing of wisdom, number two, is not only her house, but her hospitality, the hospitality of wisdom. Look at verse 2 and 3. The Bible said she hath killed her beast. She hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table, and she hath sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon the highest places of the city. So it's a picture of someone setting a table and inviting those who would come, right? The invitation of God is come unto me. And so that invitation is to whosoever tonight, and it is an invitation of hospitality. Again, look at where we're at today. Don't have more than this many people in your house. If you, it's unreal. You know what's happening? We are being dehumanized. We don't see people as people anymore. We don't really care about their problems anymore. We care about one thing, and that is a virus. We care about two things, a virus and an election. If we didn't have those two things, guess what? People would still have problems. People would still have burdens. So you and I here, as we look and we see the invitation, the hospitality extended to us, we see that what wisdom is offering us is a feast. We see her feast. The picture is of a banquet, and the Word of God is the banquet for us. You don't have to have a high education to get something out of the Word of God. You say, well, I can't read. Isn't it amazing what technology can do? You can pull it up on your phone and have somebody read to you. There's no excuse for people not knowing the Word of God. You can ride down the road, and instead of listening to ungodly music or whatever it is, podcasts, whatever, you can pull the Word of God up. And while you're riding, and I found this, Brother Jimmy, if I'm not careful, you tell me if I may be the only one. If I'm not careful, I will have the news on. I will have listen to stuff in my car that by the time I'm done, I'm just about done. Anybody else get like that? I mean, it's like the whole world's coming down, right? It's like there's no light, there's no hope. I'll tell you what I did the other day. Miss Susan mentioned to me about this song I sang tonight, and I'd never heard it. And I said, I'll listen to it. And I was going to Winston the other day, and I listened to that song, and I thought, man, this song is about His Majesty. And you know, after I got done listening to that for a while, I picked out another one. And before I knew it, my mind was not focused on everything else. It was focused on Him. See, what we put here and in here affects what is in here. And I'm no different than you. I can get off track, right? And it's easy today because we can find all the stuff, this gut reaction to every way we're being wronged and everything that's unfair. And again, I'm not minimizing that. But here's what I want to ask you. If things don't go the way we think they should go, what are you going to do then? Because life goes on. So I'm saying that the Word of God is that banquet. It is where we get our substance and our strength. We get everything we need, not from everybody else. That sustenance that we need and that strength comes from the Word of God. Listen, you ever heard a message or a song or read the Word of God and you had just been as low as you could go and God encouraged you? You read one verse in the Word of God and all of a sudden your day changed. That's how important it is. And we know that, and it's here and it's available. The banquet is here. But so many of us, when we get discouraged, we say no. Say no. When we're downtrodden, when the devil's beating up on us, when there's sin that needs to be dealt with, whatever it is, anything that goes on, the very place we ought to be is in the house of God and around the Word of God, and it's the very thing we want the least. But it's the very thing that's going to help us the most. It is where we enjoy the sweet blessing of fellowship with the Lord. You can hear a song and say, well, you know, the Lord spoke to me. But God's not going to speak to you in a song like He is in the Word of God. I'm not saying He doesn't speak through a song. Okay, so don't go out of here if you're watching by the way. Don't send me a hateful email. But a song's written by a man and God may have spoke to his heart to write it. But this is His Word. God's always going to speak to you through His Word. And so here, as we enjoy the sweet blessing of fellowship with the Lord, it comes as a feast. Isn't it amazing that as you and I, as believers, especially as Baptists, most of the time I mentioned it before, if we're going to get together in fellowship, there's going to be food involved. And I'm glad that God knows us so well that He doesn't liken it to a classroom setting or a lecture, right? He likens fellowship with Him to a feast. Something that we would enjoy. Something that was casual, I guess. I don't want to say that, but you understand what I'm saying. Something not where we're sitting in a classroom environment to a schoolmaster. It is friends. It is a father and son. It is a relationship, a fellowship that He's offering us if we'll just seek after it. And I believe going forward, 2021, if we're going to get through it and we're going to thrive and we're going to go higher than we ever have before, we're going to have to make much more of the Word of God than we ever have before. And I'm not just talking about preaching and teaching. I'm talking about in our personal life. It's going to have to move up the scale of what's important to us. It's a feast, but also it's a fellowship. We are invited to all the fellowship we want. Listen, have you ever met people that they'll say, you got 5 minutes. I got 5 minutes I can give to you. I'm busy. I got stuff going on. I get that. Brother Eddie, sometimes people call me and say, hey, listen, I need to stop by your house a minute. You're going, okay. Kind of busy, but that's okay. Or they'll call you and you're like, or text you, and you're going, can I call you back? Well, I really need to talk to you. Okay, what's going on? Then they spend 45 minutes just talking. Not important, right? They just want to talk. We're busy. Brother Jimmy's busy. I'm busy. You're busy, right? We're consumed with daily activities we have to get done. And if you call me late at night, right? I'm probably going to be sleeping. But there's no time restraints with the Lord. He doesn't mind if you call Him at 2 in the morning. He doesn't mind if you wake up early and talk to Him. He doesn't mind if going down the road you need to talk. He's there. He's available. He doesn't have a time schedule, see? And He's available. The amazing thing, He's available to you and you and me and him and her. It doesn't matter. He can take us all at one time. So we're invited to all the fellowship we want. There's no, listen, time restraints. 30 minutes, 5 minutes. I got 20 minutes. I got somewhere else to be with Him. It's however much you want. And He enjoys it more than you do. He wants to fellowship with you more than you want to fellowship with Him. And so those hungry for insight can come to be filled and stay as long as they want. You want to know more about the Word of God? Spend more time in it. God's not going to turn you away. Amen. So tonight, when we think about hospitality, we always think of receiving it. But it is amazing, Miss Sheila, we expect others who are probably in the same condition we are to extend the fellowship to us or the hospitality to us, when the one that can give everything we need is inviting us to come and we're saying no. If the church is going to be strong going forward, we have to spend more time with God. So we see our hospitality. Then number 3, we see our help in verses 4-6. The Bible said, whoso is simple. Now, don't be offended by that, okay? Complex is not always the best. Simplicity is often the most valuable thing. We make so much of complexity, right? We'll say, well, you know, I want to hear a message that challenges me intellectually. I want one that I can understand, don't you? I've been around some preachers the time you were done. They sounded good, but I didn't understand what they were talking about. Didn't help me at all. But then I've been around some that, boy, they just dug in there and put the cookies down on the bottom shelf where I could sit and enjoy them, right? And so the Bible said, whoso is simple, I'll raise my hand. Let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, come eat of my bread, drink of the wine which I have mingled, forsake the foolish and live, go in the way of understanding. That's pretty simple. That's not complex, right? When you look at verse 6, that is simple. Forsake. We know forsake means to say no to. Say no. Oh, but I think it'd be exciting. No, the Bible said forsake the foolish. It also says, and live. So it seems to me the Bible's telling me that to the degree that I forsake foolishness and embrace wisdom is the degree to which I have life and that I enjoy life. Right. Am I on? Because somebody looked at me and said, preacher, I like my Christian life, but I also want some of this too. You can't have it that way, see? You cannot enjoy this if you got this junk, right? You can't enjoy this if you've got this. So we got to understand, you got to make a choice. Either you're going to say, God, I want all you got, or you're going to say, I don't want any of it. Because you're not going to get in the Bible and really enjoy fellowship with them. Because here's the thing. I was studying this morning in Psalms. And it's talking about the mountain of His holiness. And I thought how interesting that terminology is. The mountain, which is higher than the earth, right? And it describes it as holy. And, of course, most of the time when you look at a mountain, Brother Kenneth, it's wider here, and as you get up here, it gets narrower. And the closer we are to God, the farther we are away from the trials of life, right? But also the closer we are to His holiness. We're closer to it. And so, therefore, two things happen. One, if we're really closer to God, we'll see Him for who He is. Not as just a man, right? Not as my buddy, but He's God. He's holy. He's perfect. He's righteous. But the other thing we'll see is how unholy and unrighteous we are when we're not in Him. And I believe, Brother Bobby, that's the reason folks don't like this Bible. Because the more time we spend in it, and let me say this, here's the problem. In this side, the devil's saying, listen, if you read that Bible, it is going to tell you how awful you are. And you don't want to hear that. We live in a day where here's the interesting thing. We talk about self-confidence, but we get self-confidence from what others think of us. Right? Doesn't make sense. Self means I have confidence in me, right? So if I have confidence in me, why is it determined by what others think of me? So we're reaching out to get all this this praise and all of this support from people, and the very one we should want support from is the Lord. And He's the last on the list because we've taken the grace of God and we say, well, God's going to love me no matter what. My friends may not. My coworkers may not. My spouse may not. They may not love me. Shouldn't that mean that if we know God's going to love us no matter what, that we should want to please Him even more? But the opposite, our flesh tells the opposite. You don't have to worry about God. He's like the old dog, right? He's always going to come running when you come to the door. You better quit treating Him that way. So here, the help God gives us, we see her priority in wisdom. The Bible said in verse 4, whoso is simple. So it's open to the simple. There's nothing wrong with being simple. God loves and uses the simple. Don't be intimidated. God's priority is to those who seek Him, not simply those who know. Our flesh is like this, right? We don't know something, but we want you to think that we know so that we're not embarrassed that we don't know. Right? And so we'll act like we do know what we don't know, and we'll never know what we don't know because we think we do know. I don't know if I could ever say that again, so don't ask me to. So this pride that we have is I don't want to look dumb. And so therefore, I'm basically going to lie to people to make them think that I understand what they're talking about when I don't have a clue. And we do that with the Word of God. We don't want to dig in because we'll say, well, you know, the Bible says this. Where does it say it? Well, I don't know if it says somewhere. But we don't want to dig and find out. Well, here's my favorite, Brother Jimmy. Now, preacher, can you tell me where the Bible says whatever? So you want me to do your digging for you and give you the gold after I dig it up for you? Yeah, sounds easy, doesn't it? Well, that's what we pay you for, man. And with all the tools we have today, there's no reason we can't find in the Word of God what we want to find. So don't be intimidated. God's saying here in verse 4, whoso is simple. That is a badge of honor, not a criticism. You know what? The simple, if we want to know something, ask. And so why not ask God when you don't understand something? Here's what I would do, right? And I mean, this is what I think we ought to do. When we don't understand something, instead of asking everybody, go to Him first. Seek His Word first. Pray to Him first. Then I would find people after that that have some spiritual discernment and have some knowledge of the Bible. Not some guy you work with, been to church two times in his whole life, but he thinks he knows something. You say, well, he's smart. He probably knows. He doesn't know what the Bible says, right? Don't worry about being simple. Simple is good. Don't be intimidated. Just seek after Him, right? Seek after Him in the Word of God. And if you don't get it the first time, go back the second time. If you don't get it the second time, go back the third time. Keep going back. And when you're ready for it, God's going to give you what you need. And then finally, in her help, you see her principle. Verse number 6, forsake the foolish and live, go in the way of understanding. So the principle of wisdom is this, forsake those things contrary to the Word of God. There are some things I understand when we look at, we have to look, Brother Justin, at the principle of the Word of God. There's other things that are black and white God gives us. And if we're not going to listen to what is clear in the Word of God, we're going to have a problem with the principles of the Word of God. Right? If we're not going to understand what is in black and white in our Bible and says, thou shalt not, then when we have to understand the principle, then we have problems with that. And so, if we're not going to forsake those things, if we're not going to say no to the things that are contrary to the Word of God, we're never going to have a happy life. Never going to have a fulfilled life. We're to flee from the things we're warned about. You know, you look at Joseph, and he fled from adultery. The Bible tells us that we are to flee from Satan. We're to flee from sin. We're to run away from it. We're not to embrace it, right? We're not to see how close we can get to it without getting burned. We're to run from it. And so only when we forsake the foolish can we live our best life. I was listening to something the other day, and I mentioned a little bit about it, but this guy had 10 principles to, I don't remember what he called it, to great life, accomplishing whatever you want to, whatever it was. You know, and I mentioned a couple of them the other night. You know, have a set schedule, get up, get out of bed, clean your room, et cetera, et cetera. One of the things he said that he had all these physical problems, right? And he said this, and the guy asked him, he said, well, what did you do? He said, you're not going to believe this. But he said, the only things I eat are meat and greens. Any green vegetable, green beans, Brussels sprouts, whatever, you know, whatever. Meat and green vegetables. He said, that's all I eat. And he said, all these health issues that I was having started going away. And I thought, here's what I heard, Mom. I heard steak 3 times a day. And sprinkle some green beans beside of it. Isn't that what it sounded like to y'all? But he said his life is better because he cut these things out of his life. And I thought, I know it wasn't easy, right? I know it wouldn't be easy for me. But these things were good and healthy for him. These things were not. So he got to the point where he said, I got to get rid of this stuff and I got to embrace this stuff. Well, the principle is the same for every aspect of life. If you're not going to forsake these things that you know are going to be detrimental and embrace the things that you know are going to be good, how do you expect to have your best life? It's not some, you know, feel good self-help. It's pretty basic. It's simple. Not easy, but simple. You take this stuff out and you put this stuff in. Well, spiritually, is that not what we should do? Take the things out that God says to take out of our life. Put the things in that God says to put in. And spiritually, we should have our best life. And I don't know about you, but going into 2021, maybe it's time that we as God's people start doing that. But things that are toxic, things that are detrimental to our growth. And then take the things that we know, the meat of the Word of God. Amen. I like that. And start feasting on that. The wisdom God gives us, the wisdom, the blessing wisdom, is it's available to us. Now, we're closing out, and I get it. Listen, I know we're 2020, where it's awful. It's probably been, for most people, maybe even you, it's probably been your worst year ever, right? And we can moan, complain, hunker down, ease out of it, right? Head under the pillow. Or, with the next couple weeks, we can start saying, okay, man, I'm going to hit the ground running in 2021. So God, you start showing me some things I need to take out of my life. Show me the things I need to start putting in there. Maybe in 2020 you have been so beaten up, discouraged, downtrodden, depressed, any of the D words you want to throw in there, that if you were honest, you ain't got to be honest with me, but you'd be honest with God, you hadn't even picked up your Bible. You hadn't spent any time in it. If it wasn't to have one on the coffee table to take to church so you look like you're spiritual, you'd be like, I wouldn't even need it. Maybe in 2020 you got away from really spending time praying. Well, how are you going to, and I mean collectively, all of us, how are we going to have our best life if we're not, here's the one thing that ought to be the bedrock, and we forsake it. We're trying to put the other stuff in. God's saying, listen, not, you can't have your best life putting this junk in. But if you'll take it out and put this in, it's there. It's wisdom. So, I think tonight, all of us need to probably, whether you do it on the altar at your seat, say, okay, God, from the rest of this year, I want you to start searching me. And I want you to start finding the things that need to be taken out of my life. And help me remove them. And then I want you to start showing me the things I need to put in there. And help me put them in. Because it's up to you. But Ms. Treva, I don't know when we as Christians are going to get fed up with the awfulness of the Christian life. What I mean by that is, well, Justin, that's not what God gave. That's not what He gave us. He came to give us life and to give it what? Abundantly. So God did not create us and did not intend for us to live a life as miserable as I see most Christians living. And I'll raise my hand, sometimes me. I get my eyes off the Lord and I get on stuff and all of a sudden everything's wrong. Yeah? But it's up to you and up to me. You can have another year like 2020, 2019, 2018, 2017, whatever. Or we can say the wisdom, the blessing of wisdom is available and it's right there in front of my face. But you got to act on it. You got to do something with it. It's not enough to know. The simple, right? Here's what I think about with simple, right? When you first got saved, I first got saved, you'd read something in the Bible and you'd be like, I gotta go do that. You'd read something and say, I gotta do that. You read something else, you go, man, that's plain as the nose on your face. I need to go to church. Now we're down the road a little bit and we start going, let me ponder on this a little bit. Let me see if I can find the deeper meaning in that scripture. And we get so caught up in the complex that we miss the simplicity of God's word. God didn't write His word so we could debate it in a college environment. He gave it to us so we as His children could follow. I'll give you an example and I'm done. So if I tell my child at age 5 years old, I say, listen, you need to go up, clean your room. Is that clear? Somebody be going, I don't know, preacher, this trick. No trick. I mean, is that clear? Clean your room. All right? So 5 years old, I said, well, you know what? I want to start teaching them to be critical thinkers. And I'll say, well, let's talk about this a little bit. Let's talk about the value of cleaning your room and whether or not it would be beneficial, if it will develop some good habits, if in later in life, if it will teach you that everything in life is not easy and is not, you don't have to always like it. And 5 years old, they don't know all that stuff. So am I going to get better results? So I say, listen, Dad said to go clean your room. Yeah. Are we not the same with God's Word? Take it for what it says and do it. And then as we obey the Word of God, then God may say, here is another little nugget. And here's another little. But at no time can we disobey the Word of God and ponder it and be right with God. So the simple would say, God said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. So if I can be at church, I'm going. God said that we are to share the gospel, so I'm going to do it. God said, study to show thyself approved, so I need to read and study my Bible. Pray without ceasing, I think I'll pray. That's what you and I need to get back to. Just doing what we know to do according to God's Word. And then we'll see the blessing of wisdom. Let's stand together. Let's bow our heads tonight. Close our eyes. Thank you for your attention. Thank you for being here. I invite you to come. You just need to pray. Say, God, I want you to show me what's hindering my walk with you. It may not be tonight. It may take you time. It may take weeks. But isn't it worth it? To say, God, I just want to be an open book. I want you to show me what I need to take out. I want you to show me what I need to put in. Because I want 2021 to be the best year, not another 2020 or not another 2019. I want it to be the best year I've ever had walking with you. So I'm claiming you at your word. If I lack wisdom, I'm going to ask. Will you do it? It's amazing to me how many folks say they want to be happy, but they're happy being miserable. They're happy with the status quo. Just the way it's going to be. Just the way my life is. It's that black cloud over me every single day. Maybe what will remove the black cloud is say, God, show me what I need to take out. Show me what I need to put in. Simple. Not always easy, is it?